Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. It's not the prettiest Sunday morning out there, but it's warm in here, and we are so glad you have joined us. If you would, please fill out the attendance pads that are at the end of each pew, and so we can have a list of who is here to worship with us today. We are celebrating Scout Sunday today, and we had a glorious service at 8:30 and had many scouts and parents and leaders, and they are now worshiping in the other service. So please remember the scouts, leaders, and their families, and we hope that you are all blessed being here today. If you would look on the back of your bulletin at the announcements, our food pantry leadership would like to extend a big thank you to Asbury for our generosity in helping to feed the hungry. And keep in mind that this is a year-round mission, so your continued support is very much appreciated. Then on February 24th, the choir will be presenting a festival of music. Please make plans to be here. I know it's going to be a wonderful presentation with songs and hymns, so mark that on your calendar. And there are other activities and things going on that are listed in the bulletin, and I ask that you look those over. Now, if you would, please stand and pass the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
Now, would you all stand and join with me in the call to worship, which is in your bulletin? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now remain standing for our hymn of praise, To God Be the Glory, number 98. Please remain standing for a statement of faith, which is in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. Happy Sunday. Did you enjoy the warm weather this week? I did. Okay, so I brought something this morning. A birdhouse. But it's, what is it? It's a what kind of kit? A painting or a model? A model kit. And it's kind of cool because in it has, well, of course, first of all, we always need the picture, right, to see what we're going to do. I do that with a puzzle. Like, if I'm going to put a puzzle, I have to look at the front to see it. But then it's kind of cool because it includes everything you need. Inside of it has pieces, and it's got easy-to-follow instructions. Yeah. And it's got, the best part is, to put it all together, because you would hate to put it all together and then not have any what? Glue. You got to have glue. Because you know what? You're taking all the time to put this together, and then you set it on the table, and what happens to it? It'll just fall apart. Well, you know, I was kind of thinking about how our life is like a birdhouse or a model kit. The reason being is that, you know, as you see with a picture, who is a picture of someone that we can follow? Jesus.
Say it out loud.
Jesus. Jesus is a great picture or example for us to follow. What do you think our instructions are? What are we supposed to read every day? It starts with a B. A Bible. And so that can be our instructions. I know, I was hoping that they were going to say that. And then lastly, what do you think, as our glue is with the birdhouse, what do you think holds all of it together? Not a Bible, but what do we have that holds everybody together? What are we supposed to do with one another? Treat people, but also what?
Love each other.
Love each other. So as a model kit comes with a picture and instructions and glue, and this one even includes paint, to hold that together, we have a perfect example in Jesus. He's our picture, our instructions are the Bible, and lastly, to hold all of it together is love. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for another day that you've created for us. And thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, as our example of how you want us to live. We thank you for the Bible that gives us instructions on how to put all the pieces of our life together. And finally, thank you for prayer, the glue that holds it all together. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
would ask you to look at the bulletin for the prayer request. Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, the family and friends of Georgia Sowers, Clifford Smith, and Cammie Mackey. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come before you this morning with honor in our hearts. We want nothing more than to honor you today with our praise, our worship, and with teaching of your holy word. Please honor us this morning with the presence of your Holy Spirit. On this Scouting Sunday, we humbly ask you to bless these young men and women as they serve you and their communities. Through their oath, law, and promise, they are an example to all of us as we should look outside ourselves as we seek to be more like Jesus each and every day. Bless all of those who are wearing the Scouting uniform today, as well as all who wear a service uniform and serve our communities, state, and nation. Lord, we also ask that you continue to bless this church in all the missions that we support and honor. May we continue, just as these young men and women do, to look beyond these walls and reach out to this community. We ask all of this in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now bless our offering. Gracious God, Asbury is such a giving church family. We are honored to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. Bless these tithes and offerings and the giver. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, number 467, Trust and Obey.
The opening question of this morning is, do you know what an oxymoron is? Now, I hesitate and wait on an answer, but I don't want to get an answer from the back row of the choir, because one of them would say it's a dumb ox, duh. Well, it is not. An oxymoron is a figure of speech, in which apparently contradictory words or terms appear together in a phrase. The English language literally is full of them. For example, jumbo shrimp, original copy, night of the living dead, virtual reality, and my favorite, and of course before Russ Melton says it, I'm going to say it, military intelligence. There you go. Now here's just a few more and we'll move on. Civilized war. Righteous sin. Scientific creationism. And this next phrase was actually said. It was recorded coming out of somebody's mouth. Thank God I'm an atheist. Believe it or not, the Bible is full of what the world would say. It's full of oxymorons. Now, I invite you just to look at these from the world's point of view. The first shall be last. The Alpha and the Omega. Born again. Virgin birth. God, man. To us, they make perfect sense. But to the world, they're about as senseless as the term holy war. Well, on this Scouting Sunday, we're going to look at an example in the Bible that on the surface appears to be just another oxymoron. But it's the furthest thing from being a contradictory statement as we can get. And that term is the title of today's message, Servant Leadership. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or feel free to grab a pew Bible, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 12 and read through 15. And I just pray that as you hear these words, that you hear them with a new ear and find something new in them through the Holy Spirit. Beginning in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do, and I have done for you." The word of God for the people of God. Since it is Scouting Sunday, I'm going to use the Boy Scouts as an example. A scout reaches the pinnacle of achievement when they earn their Eagle Scout honors. But in the beginning of scouting, when they first start out, to even the highest of ranks within scouting, their oath never changes, nor does the characteristics of a scout. Listen to this list of characteristics. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Wow. And their oath? Their oath reads like this: "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, and to obey the scout law, to help others at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." I don't know about you, but a country full of scouts and people that want to exemplify that oath and those characteristics would be a pretty great place to live. Amen? Did you pick up, as I read that though, did you pick up on the first thing that a scout does every single day? On their honor, they will always strive to do their best in all their actions in serving God. Serving God. Wow. What a concept. Every day doing their best to serve God. They put others before themselves as it embodies all of their characteristics. In my opinion, they're a pretty good example of the title of today's message. They're a pretty good example of servant leader because they are leading by example in their service to others. What does the term, or what do the words servant leadership mean in the church? Specifically, in the United Methodist Book of Discipline, it calls for all clergy to be servant leaders. Paragraph 138 says, "Ordained ministers are called by God to a lifetime of servant leadership in specialized ministries among the people of God." Now, this can be done through lay leadership. I said clergy a moment ago, but no. It's lay leadership that are called to be servant leaders. It could be a deacon that is ordained into a specific area of ministry. Or it could be a pastor or clergy. What this doesn't mean is the church exists to fulfill the needs of those called, the leaders in the church, but for those called to fulfill the needs of the church. A pastor friend of mine spoke to his congregation on Sunday 1 And he is a great individual. I wish he was there. You'd hear this morning, you'd see him just blush. But here's what he told his congregation, and he meant it 100%. I am not here to be put on a pedestal. I am here to lift all of you to that position, a position closer to God. And he meant it with all his heart. You know, several years ago, I kind of fall into some things just by accident, and I looked back as I was writing this sermon. Several years ago, when I took over the Adult Protective Services Division with the Department of Human Services, I traveled. My first month, I traveled the entire state, visiting all of the districts, the district leaders, and then everybody that worked in that district. I had about 80 people working for me across the state. I wanted to get to know them, but I wanted them to get to know me as well. They all wanted to know how I was going to lead the division. In essence, what was my leadership philosophy? I asked them to imagine a normal organizational chart with all of the different layers of management stacked on one another, and how it appears like a triangle. When you see the whole organizational chart at one glance, with the leader at the top and every layer from down from that position, it gets wider and wider. I asked them, once you see that pyramid, now take that pyramid, turn it upside down. I explained the success of the inverted organization relied on the support from the leader and from the next layers down of management, the organization balanced on that one person. It was my job to support, defend, and represent the entire organization to the director of DHS as well as to the governor, and I was accountable. An organization balanced on the head, the top dog, if you will. And if that individual ceases to support and serve everyone in the organization fails. The example that we see in this morning's scripture, Jesus being the leader, and I truly believe that he has an organizational chart that he has inverted. He is teaching his disciples about servant leadership. If you read through the book of John, at this point, Jesus is reaching the end of his earthly ministry and has taught his disciples, has taught his apostles, the 12 that he called. He's taught them possibly all that he could teach them up to this point about his kingdom. In verse 12, we find Jesus, after he has triumphantly entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, to cries from the people, he's asking his disciples, after what he's done, do you understand what I have done for you? Here's the scene. This was the night before the Passover meal. We celebrate that night, that day in this church, and we call it Maundy Thursday. It was the beginning of Jesus' last supper with his disciples. As was customary, at the beginning of the meal, the hands and the feet are washed. And that was according to the law, that you had to wash your feet off when you came in, and then you wash your feet again, and you wash your hands before you ate. Now, this was done either by the person themselves, or if the meal was being hosted in a wealthy person's home, then it was the task of a slave to do that, and not a Jewish slave. It was a Gentile slave. A Jewish slave was not even expected to wash the feet of another Jew. That's how low of a task this was delegated. And certainly it was not the host that was going to wash the feet of everybody there, not perform this vile task. But on that night, for the first time we see in Scripture, Jesus is the host of the meal. That is the setting that we see here. In the eyes of the disciples, Jesus was lowering himself lower than a Jew in the eyes of all of them there. He was placing himself in the position of the lowest of a low, a Gentile slave. And if we read the verses preceding this morning's, we see Jesus removing his outer garments, laying them to the side, picking up a towel and wrapping it around himself. Not only was he performing the task of a lowly Gentile slave, he looked the part as well, if you can see it in your mind's eye. As Jesus washed the dirt from all of the 12 disciples' feet, including the one that was going to betray him, that very night, he washed them all. The love that Jesus had in his heart, even washing the feet of Judas Iscariot. The disciples objected to Jesus washing their feet and serving them in such a manner. And as I like to call him, bold, brash Peter even said, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Peter was uneasy, and he didn't like what Jesus was doing. But Jesus told him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Only then, hearing those words, did Peter submit to Jesus and ask him to not only wash his feet and his hands, but to wash his head as well. When Jesus finished, he put his garments back on and asked the question that we read in verse 12, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" Jesus did not, when he took his outer garments off, he didn't take away his deity. He didn't take anything away from himself, nor his authority. When he lowered himself to such a position, he told them, and I read it again, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." But if we read on, he followed it up with a charge to the disciples to assume the role he had done that evening, to serve others in the same manner that he had just served them. Verse 15 says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus was telling them in so many words to be a servant leader, but does not mean that you have to give up your power and authority in that service. As a matter of fact, the best way that I can describe a person trying to hold on to power and authority is like trying to hold Jell-O in your hand and squeezing. It's going to slip away. It's going to squeeze right through your fingers. The tighter you squeeze it, the more you lose it. Jesus knew this principle better than anyone, and throughout his entire ministry, he gave example after example after example how we should serve our fellow man. On this Scouting Sunday, we should all strive to do our best in serving God as well as serving others, whether we're a scout or not. If you are in a leadership position in an organization, I implore you to be the point of the pyramid turned upside down, supporting and serving the people in that organization. But more than all of this, we should take the example of Jesus and serve regardless of our standing, and of course, their standing, the person we are serving in the organization or in our communities. In his book titled Life of Christ, Fulton Sheen writes on this event that we've talked about today, this foot washing. And he says this, the scene was a summary of his, Jesus' incarnation, rising up from the heavenly banquet in intimate union of nature with the Father. He laid aside his garments of glory, wrapped about his divinity the towel of human nature, which he took from Mary, poured the laver of regeneration, which is his blood shed on the cross to redeem mankind, and began washing the souls of his disciples and followers through the merits of his death, resurrection, and ascension. So aptly put. Jesus left everything, as Mr. Sheen says, he left everything in glory to come to earth to serve all mankind and to wash our souls by taking away our sins, becoming something he was not for you and for me. Let's then serve one another through his example. The world would be a wonderful place to live if we would. That is our charge. And if you read about it, that is his commandment to us, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We can't serve from atop a pedestal. We can only serve by being down with those we want to serve. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is We've a Story to Tell to the Nations, hymn number 569. I invite everyone to please stand. If you'd like to come forward and spend some time at the prayer rail thinking about this premise of servant leadership, I invite you to do so. If you'd like for me to pray with you, it'd be an honor to do so. If you'd like to join with this faith family, then now's the time for you to come forward, and we'll accept you by whatever means is appropriate this morning. As we sing, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations.
Thank you.
wasn't it a great addition to the services today to have a trumpet here? Thank you so much. Thank you. It was good to have everybody here on this cold, damp Sunday morning. But I just hope that the praise, the worship that has gone on in this morning service and the word that was taught has warmed your heart, has warmed your soul. It can be. God is ready to warm everybody's hearts. We just have to be that servant leader to go out and tell people about Jesus and do that. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you for the warmth of your love. I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your acceptance of us sinners that don't deserve it. Father, help us to love others as you love us without any qualms, without any hesitation. Help us to love and serve others as you serve us and as you love us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.